Do you remember the first time you saw someone on screen and thought, whoa, that person looks just like me? Or maybe you're still waiting for that to happen.
Something that comes up a lot in conversation with our creators is the importance of representation and diversity and the connection to authenticity.
Creativity thrives on different perspectives, and it's in that mix of voices, culture, histories, and lived experiences that true innovation is born.
Our creators are committed to inclusive storytelling in teams. They often ask, how can they deepen that commitment? What are they doing right, and where is there room to grow?
So, what does authentic representation really look like? How do you build a creative team that reflects the world around you? And how do you see blind spots in your own stories? Let's find out.
Welcome to First Frame, brought to you by TELUS StoryHive. I'm Jennifer Park.
And I'm Cameron Zinger. And we're here to help empower new and emerging Canadian content creators by answering the most pressing questions, sharing diverse success stories, and getting insights from people who have been down this path before.
On every episode, we unpack the journey of a leading Canadian creator or creators, all the way from inception to completion. We'll hear about their wins and their challenges, and ultimately provide the creative community with mentorship and a sense of belonging.
Canadian content creators need a podcast to call home. This is it.
On this episode, we're going to talk about the importance of diversity and representation in the world of content creation, both on screen and behind the scenes, and learn why it isn't just the right thing to do, but also the smart thing to do.
One of the biggest reasons for inclusive storytelling is that when people behind the creative work all look, sound, and think the same way, or come from similar backgrounds, we end up with content that reflects a really narrow point of view.
To help us explore this topic in depth, I'm excited to introduce two champions of diversity, inclusivity, and representation. First is Joy Lowen, Vice President of Growth and Inclusion at the Canada Media Fund. Joy, welcome to First Frame.
It's my pleasure to be with you. It truly is.
And our second guest for today's conversation is Winnie Look, the Executive Director of the Disability Screen Office in Toronto. Winnie, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me. This is such an important conversation to have, especially with what's happening around the world today.
Couldn't agree more. Really looking forward to today's conversation. And again, thank you both for joining us.
So before we get into the conversation on diversity and inclusion, I'd love to learn a little bit more about how you both ended up in your respective roles and what those roles are all about. So Joy, I understand your career spans over 30 years. So let's start with you.
My start was in programming. I was one of those geeks who never wanted to do on air. I was behind the scenes working at a couple of specialty channels, first Vision TV, then WTN, the Women's Television Network, now known as W, working in acquisitions, co-licensing, second window agreements. And I did that for about 10 years. And then in the early 2000s, I joined the National Screen Institute team where I was a program manager. And that's where I had the honor of walking alongside creators as they boldly told their stories. So for several years, I was with the National Screen Institute as a program manager. And then in 2019, I became the CEO of the National Screen Institute. And then in around 2024, I decided that I wanted one more challenge and accepted the position as Vice President of Growth and Inclusion for the Canada Media Fund.
Such an amazing career.
And how about you, Winnie? I know that you are the first person to ever hold the role of Executive Director at the DSO, but what else can you tell us about your background?
Yes, I'm the inaugural Executive Director, and I started at the DSO in June of 2023. I started my career off with the City of North York, working in their Parks and Recreation Department, and my last role with them was leading the accessibility and disability programming within Parks and Recreation. At that same time, I was offered that role. I was also offered a role with Inside Out, which is the presenter of the Toronto and Ottawa 2S LGBT Plus Film Festival. And so I had to make the hard decision, one of the hardest in my careers. I ended up resigning from the City of Toronto and joining Inside Out. And I didn't look back. 16 years later, my last role with them was their Director of Operations and Events. And I knew if I was to move on to another organization, it would have to have been with one that also I felt passionately about and really believed in. And Rainbow Railroad was just coming up. It was just being established. It's an American and Canadian nonprofit charity that works with and helps persecuted LGBTQ LGBTQI individuals escape violence and persecution. So I was their managing director for 4 years and helped build their organization. And then I saw this role come up with the Disability Screen Office. And I couldn't believe how faithful, what a full circle moment. Again, culmination of my last 30 years of work, having also left accessibility and disability space. So having the opportunity to return and lead an organization such as the Disability Screen Office and help it grow, privilege and honor. So really happy to be here.
It was meant to be.
Yeah.
Yes, I think so.
Now, let's dive in. My first question for you, what does representation really look like in the creative sector?
I mean, it should look better than what it is right now. It's not fully representative, right? Of, you know, our media industry right now is not representative of our diverse society in Canada. One of Canada's strengths is how diverse we are, how many communities we represent. That's what makes up Canada, our society. It should make up our screen industry. And right now it is not reflecting that. It has absolutely improved. I worked at Inside Up for 16 years, and what I saw from when I was first coming out, looking, browsing the Blockbuster aisles for any representation in 2S LGBT compared to when I, you know, well, even this day, I was going to say when I left Inside Out, but the progress and the evolution and the representation has absolutely improved. Everyone wants to see themselves reflected on the screen.
That's mm-hmm. it.
It's really about isolation and feeling alone. And the more we can see ourselves on screen, the better, and the better stories that will be told, more authentic as well.
Joy, what about yourself? What do you think it looks like in the industry?
I think Winnie nailed it when she said that we need to see ourselves reflected on screens and the stories that are told. And knowing that in Canada, where the population is so gloriously diverse, that means that there is a lot of diversity that needs to be showcased on the screens. And I still think of it from a personal perspective. I remember when, as a kid, growing up in a small rural town in Steinbach, Manitoba, ours was the first Black family to move into the city. And I remember how pivotal it was to see the show Good Times on the screen. A Black family like mine, I felt a sense of belonging from that on-screen representation in a way that I didn't in my community. And I think that there is just so much talent. We oftentimes focus on the fact that we're doing, you know, this for the numbers because we need to be proportionally representative. And it's like, no, we're doing this because this is where the best content lies, and seeing stories that give us better understanding of each other, that help us to get glimpses into worlds that we wouldn't otherwise see, and then conversely, to see ourselves reflected on screen. So diversity for me, as I go back to, is seeing oneself, regardless of who you are, who you love, what you look like, where you live, the color of your skin, the color of your hair, that you see yourself reflected.
Definitely know that there's been changes over the years. I know there's still a lot of work to do, as we've mentioned already on today's episode, but what kind of barriers still exist to greater representation in the industry?
I think there's two. One is scarcity mindset, that there's just not enough resources, that there's not enough talent, that how many more different ways can we tell a story? So that kind of scarcity mindset does, I think, hinder some of the progress. And also, I still feel that there's a lot of awareness. There's a lot of misconceptions and perceptions that are out there that need to be identified and addressed. And you know, and these are perceptions, again, relating to that the talent just isn't there to shine, to do a good job, to create content that people are going to watch, never mind pay money to see. So that the investment isn't going to be as, you know, as significant because it's just too uncharted a territory.
Mm-hmm. I'd love to jump off of what Joy said in the sense of attitudes and ableism. That's what I see as a primary barrier right now with working with the disability community. You know, sometimes I describe our work as we are almost starting from below ground zero in the sense of even identifying and divulging that you have a disability. That is a challenge right now. So not even divulging, but even identifying. So many folks have said to me in meetings, I'm blind in one eye, but I'm not disabled. I cannot hear in one ear, but I'm not disabled. I have this chronic pain, but I'm not disabled. So one's own understanding of what disability means and actually identifying with it, that in itself right now, we're trying to get to that place. We represent 27% of the Canadian population, which actually increased from the last census. But I know for a fact that that number is vastly undercounted because most people are not checking that box, because there's also a misconception that if you're checking that box, you're taking something away from someone else. And this is just data collection. It's not for a program. So there are so many barriers right now to get to that even ground zero of folks feeling safe and good and divulging their disability, understanding their disability. A colleague had told me that their friend right now has said to them, I actually feel safer coming out as queer than coming out as disabled in our screen industry right now. So think about what that actually means and where we are right now. And in the sense of disability, this is something that everyone will become disabled at one point in their lives. So it's someone that at one point everyone will experience. And the fact that it's still so stigmatized and there's still so much ableism and negative attitudes around this, that in itself we need to break down. Because again, at one point in your life, you are going to experience some type of disability.
I think that's why it's so important to be open if you are someone who has a disability or something like that. And to your point, like owning it, I personally myself, I have dyslexia and I have owned that from a young age. And I share that with my team openly because I want them to understand that it's not hindering my performance or it's not stopping me from achieving the things I want to in life. And it's hopefully also creating a space where they feel like their ability or they're open to also share those type of things and bring their true self to work. Because when you're bringing your true self to work, you do so much better.
But what you're doing, Cameron, sharing your story, sharing the fact that you're dyslexic, that opens up a whole new space,
a space
where folks feel more comfortable. And that's what we do essentially at the DSO, is that we do share our story, we share our journeys, making sure that people feel that they can ask, what are your access needs? Mm. How do you communicate? What do you need to thrive in your role?
Yeah.
Such a different conversation, right? Such a perspective change.
So different. And the prevention of miscommunication, right? If Cameron, you're dyslexic and maybe, you know, texting or email, you prefer to pick up a phone and talk, right? Like that in itself, I won't take it personally that why isn't Cameron texting me? Why isn't he emailing me back, right? It's just simple conversations, simple discussions around what can I do to allow yourself to bring your best self and most authentic self and to work in the way that you feel most comfortable working with.
We still have plenty to unpack, but next we're going to lighten things up a little bit with a brand new segment we've decided to call Nailed It or Failed It.
Here's the plan. We'd love it if you could share with us either a really great or a really terrible example of representation that you've seen on screen, you've maybe heard on a podcast, or you found on social media. It can be old, it can be new. Joy, why don't we start with you?
Okay. In terms of nailing it, a Canadian reference would be Digstown casting Vanessa Antoine in the role Black Lead. And one of my all-time favorite shows is Scandal. And Shonda Rhimes, I just think that in front of and behind the scenes, to have a Black woman leading the show, running the show, and a Black lead character first time, you know, Kerry Washington, first time Black female actor in a primetime drama in 40 years was top of the charts for me.
And Winnie, how about yourself?
One would be, I would say, You're My Hero. It's a series on CBC starring Sean Togood, who's also the writer and actor. And it's about a blunt, you know, unfiltered 20-something-year-old person with cerebral palsy who navigates social pressures of life and in a very unforgiving world that is just not designed for him, who is a wheelchair user. Squeaky Wheel is another amazing series that just got picked up, I believe, for the second season as well. I would say it's an easy win when you're using authentic actors and you're also hiring from those communities. And it's just an easy lose when you're just not working with or engaging those communities. And just very quickly, like something like Atypical or Good Doctor, where the main character is someone who's neurodivergent, but those actors are not.
Now that we've shared some incredible examples, let's really boil things down for our listeners and viewers, especially those who are just starting out.
So how can emerging creators ensure diversity on their teams and within their stories?
Really engaging again the communities regarding the stories that you want to tell. And so if it's not coming from your own lived experience and you're wanting to tell another story, you make sure that you hire from those communities. And right now I want to stress hire, not just consult and engage. Those are really important. And we've been saying that, you know, for a while, but I want to also just almost skip that. If you hire from those communities, from equity deserving communities, you are going to get authentic stories. You're going to get better hiring. You're going to get more inclusive and accessible. The project alone, the environment, the space, and that is going to come off on screen.
Yeah, and I 100% support that. I mean, I've been around for a very long time. You know, I've been so encouraged to see the numbers of organizations that are popping up across the country where there are creators who are from like-minded community groups. So whether they are Indigenous creators, equity-deserving creators, there is a groundswell now of collaboration that's happening that we don't have to do this work alone. Because like I say, I have in the early days of the National Screen Institute, there was maybe one or two diverse projects that would come across the table. And they would be paired with folks not from their own communities. And that's not the case now where we're looking at applications and we are seeing groups of collaborators, persons of color, persons with disabilities who are working on projects together. And I think it's that kind of community support, knowing that you don't have to do these projects alone, that's where the real growth and future is. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's really exciting to see the creative community grow exponentially day after day, week after week, et cetera, which just gives new and emerging creators even more people to connect with in order to collaborate on some of these projects.
I think it's really amazing how being seen can create such power. Like there's so much creativity can come from behind it. So there's so much that can just happen just from that representation being seen, I think is truly amazing. Obviously though, I do believe that Canadian content creators are probably getting some things right and they're probably getting some things wrong. What do you think we are getting right? And what do you think we are continuing to get wrong?
I mean, the fact that the DSO exists now, right, and that there's so many amazing other equity-deserving organizations like the ISO, the Indigenous Screen Office, the Black Screen Office, the Racial Equity Screen Office, BIPOC TV and Film, CISF, there is such a wonderful community from these equity-deserving groups and the collaboration, because intersectionality is key. We're not just one identity. Most of us are several identities, right? And our lived experience, again, it's not one-dimensional, it's not two-dimensional. And so in the sense of what we're getting right is that there's support and there's rallying around these organizations. We've seen that success in a very short amount of time. We've been able to grow. And that is because the industry and other organizations see the need for the Disability Screen Office and the programs that we're developing. And they're investing in us, collaborating with us, partnering with us. NSI, the National Screen Institute, especially when Joy was there, we were working together. We helped and partnered on the first Disabled Producers Lab ever. What an incredible program to be able to work along the NSI with. And we're continuing our partnerships with the NSI. So that is definitely what's right now.
Joy, what are your thoughts? What are we doing right? And what are we maybe not doing so right?
You know what? It's challenging to think of the it's not so right because so many of us have been at the table doing this work for so long that it's like, oh, you mean there's still more to be done. And the fact is there is more to be done. And in thinking about it today, I would say that there is just that sense of we're so focused on the single project. Like the focus is just still too narrow, that it's not about the story that you're working to develop, to produce, to distribute right now. It's about developing, we think of in terms of the content creator, as opposed to a creative entrepreneur, as opposed to this is a profession. And we are, when I say we, organizations like Winnie's and mine, we focus on funding the creators. But I think that even as creators, thinking about developing a career as opposed to just a project and knowing the incredible work that StoryHive does to make space to open a door to those who otherwise wouldn't have that door, even know about the door, never mind knock on it, and walk through it. The challenge moving forward is to think not just about that single source opportunity, but the entire career trajectory, because there's not enough money to support all of the great individual stories out there. But if we're looking at individuals who can build careers and generate revenue from the stories that they're telling, that's, I think, where we need to put some energy and effort into.
I'd love to know if you have any final advice that you would give to creators when it comes to representation and inclusion.
For creators, I think speaking up, if you are at a place in your own journey that you can share your story, you know, I'm going to speak specifically to disability. If you are at a place where you feel confident to share your journey, share your story, and open up a safe place for others to then join you, naming it, saying it, labeling it, including it in your, whether it's application for funding, whether it's in pitch meetings, what have you, sharing it and saying it out loud is so powerful and so important. Thinking about accessibility from the very, very beginning, and it lives with you throughout the whole thread and the whole pathway of your project and production. So at the very beginning, and engage in organizations like ours, because we're going to have resources and programs to support what you can do as a creator to make your projects more accessible.
Joy, what final advice do you have for our new and emerging creators?
Know that your story matters, and that there are now so many different ways to share your story. Now more than ever before, there is a network from coast to coast to coast of grassroots organizations, of community organizations. I mean, Winnie's listed a few, but also know that regardless of where you live in the country, that there's organizations like the National Screen Institute, like the Canadian Film Center and Lanice in Quebec that are offering programs virtually to help, you know, just sort of connect you to industries. And in many of the regions across the city, there's films and video co-ops and networks. And then for those fortunate enough to be in BC, Alberta, there's StoryHive.
Thank you for the plug.
Listen, I'm not just saying it because it's StoryHive. We say this, we recognize it's the impact that StoryHive has done at a very grassroots level to support creators and tell new stories. So, you know, show up and don't be shy about sharing your story.
There really is power in sharing your story. And to your point, Winnie, too, there's power in taking those little steps and just starting to include it in everything that you do. Joy and Winnie, this has been a really important conversation. And as you can tell, an important topic to me as well. Thank you so much for sharing your expertise with us and our listeners and for being part of First Frame.
Thank you. It was an absolute pleasure.
For me too, personally and professionally. Thank you.
Jen, as I said before, this is a really important and timely conversation. And I've learned a lot today listening to what Winnie and Joy had to say, especially when they talked again about, what do we hear often? Community. Building those communities, reaching out, being present, and actually just being willing to share your lived experience with others is really important, because you'll be surprised at the number of people in your community that identify with the same lived experience that you have. But what about you? What stood out most for you on today's conversation?
For me, I think it came down to that discussion about authenticity and connecting with people from the community that share the experiences of the story that you're trying to share. Making sure that you have people that are, you know, behind the scenes working with you, that you are hiring people that are in front of camera, that have that lived experience and understand from that particular community. That's a really good way of
of showcasing the authenticity of the story that you want to share, you know, to new and emerging creators, there are so many resources that are currently available across Canada to support you. If you need support, be it as a creator, as an actor, as a director, as a producer, whatever it may be, there are programs available to support. There is resources to help you. So just reach out. That's exactly what they're there for. That's it for this episode of First Frame, brought to you by Tell a Story Hive. Thanks so much to you, our viewers and listeners, for joining us.
Please hit follow so you don't miss a single episode. And be sure to tune in next time when we're going to talk about making the leap from digital to the big leagues of broadcast television.
If you'd like to learn more about how Tell a Story Hive can help you along your content creation journey, you can check out storyhive.com. Until next time, I'm Jennifer Park.
And I'm Cameron Zinger. That's a wrap.